The New York Yankees continue to own the Boston Red Sox. And yes, by some miracle, it finally happened. The New York Mets won a baseball game, but not without controversy. Injury to Francisco Lindor, and Juan Soto hates all his teammates. We will get to all of that as the show rolls on. But today is draft day. And I can only speak for myself as a Jet fan. And obviously, you, Tiki, can speak for everybody as a giant legend. I look at tonight specifically, all right, because obviously round two is going to be a big day for the Jets as well, picking at 33 and 44 as Darren Mooji and Aaron Glenn try to build this roster. But as we get set for number two and we finally get the answer to what the Jets are going to do, I feel like I'm in a win-win spot. Like, I'm excited about both players. I have a preference? Yes. I'm going the more conservative, ready-now approach in David Bailey. But if we get the announcement at about 8:15 tonight that Arvel Reese is a New York Jet, I'm excited. And maybe a part of it is that I've never been, Tiki, one of those Jet fans that cries on draft night.
Right.
Where I get all pissed at draft night. Because at the end of the day,
screaming, yelling, do whatever.
I don't know.
Right. Of course, you never know.
I don't know.
You know why? Because they're rookies.
They're rookies.
And they could be great. Or they could be terrible. Most of them take some time to figure it out. You know how I feel, Evan.
How do you feel?
I hate rookies. That's because they don't know what it takes. They're good, and eventually some of them may be great. Some of them may be all pros. Hell, some of them may be Hall of Famers. But when they first get there, they have no idea the business of the game and what it takes to be great at it. And so the only thing I look for when I look at rookies is a kid that wants to be great. Right, that's willing to put in the work. It's been my biggest issue over the last 4 years with Evan Neal. I look at him, I'm like, do you even care? Like, do you want to be great?
Right.
And so you can't afford that kind of miss, a guy who doesn't want it. And I think while this draft, according to a lot of people, doesn't have a ton of talent, I do think there's a lot of like really desirable players because they want to be great at what they're doing.
Right.
And so, and that's just... I mean, I don't know them. That's just from reading the details. The Beast who comes out with all these detailed backgrounds.
Dane Brugler.
Dane Brugler's Beast, which is awesome, by the way. You should definitely, it's on The Athletic, you should definitely go take a look at this if you care about the personalities and the backgrounds of some of these kids. But you read some of these things, and it's like, man, this kid had a great family, had like multiple siblings. They all were athletic. Like, you can feel when someone wants to be great at what they're doing. And I think the Jets, in particular, especially with Arvel Reese, if they take him, or David Bailey, they're going to get a kid that wants to be great.
And they need a player that's going to be great.
Yes.
Because the Jets, in a lot of ways, are starting from the beginning.
Right.
Especially on defense. Not as much offense, but on defense, they're starting from the beginning. And they need good football players. And ultimately, I don't know at the end of the day who's going to be the better player, Arvel Reese or David Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
Why I've shifted more towards Bailey than Reese, and this is such a negative view, but I kind of have to look at it this way, is the uncertainty of this coaching staff moving forward.
Right.
I feel like David Bailey's a very easy start and plug kind of guy.
Play right now.
Play right now, contribute right now. It ain't that complicated. And if things go badly this season, not necessarily with this player, but to just go badly overall.
The Jets are a sewer.
Because they're the Jets and they're changing coaching staffs, I think David Bailey's going to be completely fine with whoever the next head coach is.
Right.
I think with Arvel Reese, there's more kind of risk involved. Now, with that said, at 8:25 tonight, if they announce Arvel Reese, my reaction as a Jet fan is going to be, I hope he's great.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not going to cry about it.
Well, the Jets have been so obscure with their draft plans, because remember, they had a visit scheduled with David Bailey.
Correct, and then they canceled.
Yeah. And so what does that mean?
David Bailey was going to visit the facility. They said, no thanks, we already know all we need to know.
Right.
And even David Bailey kind of made a comment about, yeah, I didn't really get to walk around the facility.
And
what does that mean?
But they also never had a visit for Arvel Reese.
Right.
So what does that tell you about Arvel Reese?
I think it tells you, and this is something I will compliment the Jets on over the last year plus in this Darren Mooji, Aaron Glenn era, they are really trying to kill the leaks. They're trying to make things unpredictable. Now, what's the advantage of that when you're really owning this draft at two? Because let's face it, the New York Jets own this draft right now. We know Mendoza's going number one. That's it. Nothing's going to change that. The New York Jets are setting the tone for every other team behind them, including your team, based on what they do at two. So I don't really see a reason to be mysterious about it. But it seems like that's what they've tried to do since Mooji and Glenn have taken over.
Yeah.
And they've done that with the second overall pick.
Here's the interesting thing. Even though they're the number two pick, but we all know that Fernando Mendoza is going number one to the Las Vegas Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the best player in this draft, which means that the Jets have the opportunity to draft the best player in the 2026 draft.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so that's up to them. Some people say it's Arvell Reese. Others will say it's Jeremiah Love. It doesn't matter. It's subjective. But the Jets, coming out of this draft, should get the best player in this draft.
And that's the bar.
That should tell you something.
Well, we need to have, and right. This is the key, and look, if the Jets are going to turn this franchise around, and I'm not talking about just in 1 year, but over the next 2 or 3 years, they need to hit.
Yes.
You know, Darren Mugi right now is facing one of the most important days of his pro career, a few days of his career, because you got to pick at 2, you got to pick at 16, which is the other kind of wild card about tonight.
Yes.
Unless they trade back or they trade up, which I guess are both options. And then let's not forget, they begin the second round tomorrow.
Right.
They're the kingpins of the second round,
right,
which makes it also a very tradable pick. And then they pick 11 slots later at 44. And what Darren Mugi needs to do, if the Jets are going to turn their franchise around, is you need 4 starting caliber players
right. That
you walk away from at this draft. Now, we're not going to know the answer today or tomorrow. That's why, as a Jet fan, like, sometimes our reactions to the draft are so over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I grew up seeing the old videos of, oh my God, Johnny Lamb Jones! Ah! And I never understood that as a fan. Like, as a fan, I look at draft day as a day of hope. Like, do I have my preferences? Sure. In fact, I'll take you behind the curtain a couple years ago, and it involves your team. When the Jets and Giants both had numerous first-round picks a couple years ago, the Jets made the decision to draft Sauce Gardner.
Right.
The Giants made the decision to draft Kayvon Thibodeau. Evan Neal, I think, was a part of that draft, if memory serves correct. I remember as a Jet fan not being in love with drafting.
Don't get mad, Sean. It's Thibodeau. It's all good.
I'm not correcting Evan.
Whatever. I'm on a roll. I didn't want Sauce Gardner
right.
in that spot.
Right.
Now, I admitted when they took him, what do I know? Hopefully he turns out to be the next Darrell Revis. But even after they took a player I didn't necessarily want, I didn't look at it as doom and gloom. Like, Jet fans, we have plenty of days to be doom and gloom. It's called week 1, 2, 3, 7, 9, 12. Like, the whole season
right.
is doom
five
and gloom.
As well.
I skip those. This night is a night of hope. So even if there's a player or players you prefer, I've never understood, like, getting angry on draft night. Same thing with the quarterback situation. Sean and I even made that bet a couple days ago where I don't think the Jets are drafting a quarterback in the first round, nor would I want them to, because it is probably going to preclude them from taking a quarterback next year.
Yeah,
in a quarterback-rich draft.
Right, if they're going to take a quarterback, make it be much later.
If they took, let's say they took Ty Simpson at 16. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but let's find the controversial pick that the Jets could make.
That would be it.
I will be stunned. Like, my reaction will be, whoa! But when I give it a few hours to let it digest, it's not going to be end of the world. It's going to be, I hope this guy's great, because he could be great. That's the thing about these kids. We don't know what they are.
You would get excited. You'd have to talk yourself into getting excited, because you now know that you are not necessarily, but potentially preventing yourself from drafting a quarterback next year.
That would be my biggest negative. Yes.
He's probably not playing. Ty Simpson is probably not playing in year one, because Geno Smith is going to be your starter. So you're not even going to find out whether or not you should draft a quarterback.
All of those reasons are why I wouldn't want to draft a quarterback that high. But here's the ultimate X factor in all of these players that are taken. What if he's great?
Yeah.
What if in week 5, the Jets are 0-4 and they say, screw it, but here's Ty Simpson and he's the next great quarterback.
Shouldn't he have already projected that, though?
Not necessarily. We've seen it too many times in this league.
Tell me, not a middling, because I don't think he was a middling. He was a very good college quarterback, but a quarterback with limited experience that didn't jump off the page athleticism-wise, who gets drafted middle to late first round or even the second round, it became great.
It doesn't matter, though.
It doesn't, but
because there's so
he
many.
He doesn't profile as a great player.
I don't think he's going to be a great player, but my point is, when you go into the NFL draft, even the players that we think are going to be great.
Yes.
Like, we think, how could Evan Neal fail? I remember you even saying that to me.
Oh, of course.
How could he fail? Look at the school he went to. Look at his side. Look at everything.
Right.
And then guys fail. Like, the thing about the draft is that you don't know.
Mm.
And yes, at the end of the day, you'll talk yourself into believing in something that maybe 24 hours you didn't believe in. But these are all college kids. And if we're being honest, we've barely seen, or if you've done the homework like yourself, you've watched tape on in the last few months.
Right.
We don't know.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to know. And Evan Neal is so interesting because I still go back to that first year tape with the Giants. And I'm like, it's not that bad.
Right.
It's not.
And look,
I don't know what happened. It's year two and beyond, but whatever. And so, but you again, this is such a crapshoot. It's so exciting from a fan base standpoint. I think even from an organizational standpoint, because you're getting new energy and new blood, and who you could draft your next great leader.
Absolutely.
And you don't know it until it happens. And so it's such an exciting day. And that's just from the, like, our side.
Yeah.
Think about the kids' side.
Sure.
Like, the players. These kids that are coming out of college, and you've wanted to follow this dream since you were 10 years old, or maybe even younger, if you fell in love with the game at a very young age, and now it's about to happen. That's what makes it exciting for me, because I think about me and Rondé getting drafted, you know, 29 drafts.
Damn, you're old.
Which is, yeah, exactly. Yeah. In 1997, and it was that.
It's an exciting day for the players being drafted, and I think when you're a team or you're a fan of a team, it's exciting because there are new players on your roster, and you're going to hope that they turn out to be great. I have my preferences. I would prefer David Bailey over Arvell Reese. If they draft Arvell Reese, I hope the guy's the next great superstar. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, none of us know. The Giant angle here is fascinating because you're picking 5 and you're picking 10. And the whole 10 thing is new because you just got that pick less than a week ago in the Dexter Lawrence trade. And there are so many different ways the Giants could go with these two picks. And it almost feels now like the two picks are connected.
Yeah.
Because you have both of them, you're kind of playing the game of, well, maybe I can get this guy at 10 that I wanted at 5. Do I go offense? Do I feel like I'm more okay now to go offense because I've got two picks? I think the Giant world has been reopened because of this Dexter Lawrence trade. But 5 and 10, and keep this in mind, Giant fans, this is only the second time in the history of your franchise, and the first time was only a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. where you've got two top 10 picks.
Right.
This is rare. Now, the last time it happened was the aforementioned Kayvon Thibodeau. And Evan Neal.
Just think no H.
That's it.
Kayvon, no H.
Tom Thibodeau is the one who confuses me in all of this.
He screws everybody.
I know, and he hasn't been here in a year. So this is a rare moment where you get a chance, two cracks at the apple here, right. And you do it in a situation in which you're not beginning a full rebuild the way the Jets are.
Yeah, this is interesting from a Giant fan standpoint. I'm interested to see what Giant fans think about this upcoming draft because of the 5 and 10 picks that they have right now. But Sean and I were debating this. Not debating, but we were just trying to come to consensus. And I think Giant fans are trying to do that in their own minds right now as we lead into this draft, which is, I don't know, 10 hours from now. But I feel like, at the very least, the Giants need, and Sean and I came to this conclusion of what to call this player, because it's not a specific position. The Giants need a green dot defender. They need a defender who is your leader, who is taking charge, who is in command of everything that's out there. And I'm not necessarily saying that needs to happen in 2026, but you need a player that by year two or very least year three is wearing that green dot and is the team captain, has become a dominant player. And I think it's either Sonny Styles or Caleb Downs. Now, maybe they go Mansoor Delane. He won't be a green dot guy because you can't do that out on the corner. But I feel like they need an impact defender, and I would love to have that happen at 5. Now, you could do it at 10, like take whatever, a wide receiver, doesn't even matter. Right. You could take something else at 5 and then go get that defender at 10. But I'd like to take the best defensive player available. It's going to be an impact player at number 5 because, look, if they're going to run a 3-4, you need impact players. Mm. You really do. You can't have small linebackers. You got to have big linebackers in 3-4. You got to have athletic linebackers in a 3-4. Or you got to have a safety that is dominant in the box and also in coverage. So to me, I'm thinking Sonny Styles or Caleb Downs, even if taking Caleb Downs, who's a safety in the top 10, is unprecedented, you're not desperate for any position, so you can afford to do it. And you have another first-round pick.
Yeah, I mean, Tiki, the team, and this is the way I look at it, we've talked a lot about streaks, the Yankees win streak, the Mets losing streak. The Giants are on a draft winning streak in the first round. Malik Nabers, Abdul Carter, Jackson Dart. I think now at this point, you add the quarterback of the defense. You added the franchise quarterback of the offense last year. go, if you turn around and you hit five studs in 3 years in the first round,
yeah,
that's the guts and foundation of your right. team. And one of those guys, I think, has to be, I'm viewing it as the franchise quarterback of the defense. That's what I'm looking for tonight.
Now, right? You've also made very clear, Sean, because I've got many text messages about this from Giant fans who want me, like I am some arbitrator of this, to calm you down if the Giants draft Jeremiah Love at five.
Yes.
That you're going to lose your mind and indirectly, maybe not fairly, run this poor kid out of town before he's ever a New York football Giant.
He's not going to get run out of town.
He will not do that.
By that guy he
may. No, because I didn't do that with Saquon either.
Yeah. All right.
There's some, because this again, the moment the pick is handed in, if Jeremiah Love is the Giants' pick at five, mm-hmm. I'm a Jeremiah Love fan. He's a New York Giant. Mm-hmm. I hope he goes out there and he breaks every record Tiki Barber set.
I was going to say, if they draft Jeremiah Love, in what year does he surpass my rushing record?
Well, Tiki, honestly, if you're using a fifth overall pick on him, I'd say by year three. No, I will support him. I just don't think for where this team is, what the board probably will look like, that makes the most sense for the Giants.
And I get that. And like I was saying earlier, I'm not one. I've never been one. I was thinking about this earlier today. Like, when as a Jet fan have I been pissed at a pick they made? Now, in retrospect, it's easy to get pissed. Like, Kyle Wilson sucks. Vernon Golston sucks. But when in the moment am I screaming and yelling? And usually it's similar to what you said. It's just, hey, I'd rather this position. Because none of us know if the player is going to be a bust or not. Right. And as much as you may not want Jeremiah Love, if he comes here and becomes an all-time great running back, you will learn to like it. You could ask Gio about it. Gio's a big Viking fan, as many in our audience know. And I remember he didn't want Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
And what happened was, I don't know if he's ever fully accepted it, but obviously when AP became a great player, he loved Adrian Peterson. Like, why would you not? But in the moment, for the very similar reasons, if memory serves correct, you'll have to ask him tonight. Okay. It's another topic you can bring up to him. He didn't want the player. But if the guy turns out to be great, fantastic. But I can see how, if they make that announcement tonight at five, that they're drafting Jeremiah Love, as much as you'll eventually say, hey, he's on my team, I'm rooting for the best, you're going to be angry in the moment.
Disappointed will be the word.
Is right. there any person, Tiki Barber, that if the Giants take it five,
no.
your reaction would be, no.
Maybe if they take an offensive lineman.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Because that'd be kind of cool if they took an offensive lineman.
It would be, obviously. And I could rationalize it after the fact. But so if this is the problem with the Giants having two picks, is it you almost have the ability to draft for luxury right now because you have two, right? You can, we need a wide receiver to match Malik Nabers, to pair with Malik Nabers. But you don't really need that. You have some. You did pretty well in free agency with some of these guys that you brought in, Darnell Mooney and Calvin Austin, etc. Bo Collins could turn into a good player. We saw him in the preseason.
Count Isaiah Likely as
Isaiah Likely, who is a tight end, but he's kind of he's a pass catching tight end. He's not an inline blocking tight end. So there's receiving threats there. So if you take a wide receiver at number five, it's like, did you really need to do that, or could you have waited to do that? If you take an offensive lineman, it's committing to what I've always said and espoused, but I'm not thinking about right now because I'm obsessed with the defensive green dot guy.
Mm.
Build that ass first.
Yeah.
So if they took an offensive lineman, they'd be building for their future, not just in 2026, but for the next 4 or 5 years. But it would feel like, man, you just missed an opportunity to get your captain of the defense. And that's that. I'd be mad in the moment, and then I'd get over it.
Yeah, I think with the Giants, this is the way I look at it as an IFO, you can't fully judge five until you see 10.
That's a good point.
Right, because 40 minutes later, Caleb Downs could still be on the board at 10.
Right. It reminds me of my reaction to the Marcus Simeon Brandon Nimmo trade, where I was like, I don't like it at first, but let me see what they do next. And obviously what they did next, I don't really love it. But I think with the Giants tonight, Giant fans, whatever you do at five, it's almost like, okay, hold on a second.
Right.
Let me see what we do with 10.
It's not like you're done.
Right.
Because five is a long way to wait till you get to the second round.
Yeah.
And then who knows if they can screw that one up as well.
No question.
Like they screwed up the first round one. With two in the top 10, you know that there's an opportunity to at least feel better if you didn't like number five.
We'll hear from the Jet and Giant fans. What do you want tonight, and what would piss you off? Because there are a lot of Jet fans, not like me, who have booed draft picks, who get angry when they don't get what they want. I look at draft night as a, hey, It's a crapshoot. It's a freaking lottery. I'm going to be hopeful when it ends, but we ain't going to know the results for about, 9 months, if not longer.